You are listening to a message by Pastor David Guzik for Enduring Word. For more information about our ministry, please visit enduringword.com.
We've got two great big tubs of water right in front of me. But that's for a very specific purpose, of course, because tonight we're doing something very special as a congregation. We're going to baptize many people who want to be baptized into Christ, into the name of Jesus. And so what I thought we would do here this evening is spend a little time, and it'll be a fairly brief time because we want to get to the baptisms, but I want to spend some time talking about baptism from the Bible. And when I mean talking about it from the Bible, I can't do an exhaustive study, but I think we can get a pretty good idea from the scriptures what baptism is all about. It'll be a little bit different from the teachings I normally do, where my preference is to go to one passage of scripture and just stick with it. We're going to be taking a look at a lot of different passages, so you can do a combination of both warming up your fingers to turn a lot of Bible pages, but we'll also be putting the verses right up there on the screen so that you can read them and see what we're talking about from the scriptures. So I want to begin with a passage from Acts chapter 1, but before I do that, let me just say that the ancient Greek word that's translated baptism in our New Testament simply means to dip, to cover, or to immerse. The ancient Greeks would use this word to describe things like dyeing a garment. Think about a white shirt that you wanted to dye black. You would have black dye in a liquid. You would baptize the shirt in the dye and bring it out, and it would be black, at least if you did it right. Dipping a cup or a bucket into a larger vessel of water. They would use the ancient word baptizo to describe that very process. So it simply means to dip, to cover, or to immerse someone or something into something else. And the Bible actually speaks of many different sorts of baptism or immersion. Sometimes it uses the idea in a symbolic sense. For example, the Bible mentions the idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit at least six times. And the phrase is found, as a matter of fact, in all four Gospels and in the book of Acts. Here's the verse I wanted to point your attention to from Acts chapter 1, verse 5, where we read, For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Do you see what Jesus is saying? Jesus promised his disciples that they would experience a baptism of the Holy Spirit, but notice, he's using the term baptized in a symbolic sense. Jesus also spoke as his coming sufferings symbolically as a baptism. Luke chapter 12, verse 50 says this, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished." Jesus spoke there of the sufferings that he would encounter. And then going on now in Matthew chapter 20, verse 22, he says, "Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am to be baptized with?" Well, when Jesus used that phrase both in Luke chapter 12 and in Matthew chapter 20, he wasn't speaking of him going under the water, but of being immersed in sufferings, covered over with the suffering and the agony he would face shortly on the cross. So we have this idea. Sometimes the Bible takes that meaning of immersion, covering over, dipping into, and uses it in a symbolic sense. But most of the time, when the New Testament uses that word baptizo, it's referring to something that is a physical act that a person does, immersing themselves in water as a demonstration of repentance, a demonstration of cleansing from sin, and as preparation to receive the Messiah. For example, John, the son of Zacharias, who we often call John the Baptist, he baptized. I don't think that's any revelation to people. John the Baptist baptized people. Mark chapter 1, verse 4 says this, "John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." That's what John the Baptist did. He baptized people. You came to John, you confessed your sins, he baptized you into the River Jordan as an expression of your repentance and your desire to be cleansed so that you could be prepared for the Messiah. Now, Jesus himself was baptized. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him." Again, Jesus himself underwent baptism. Jesus didn't undergo baptism because he needed to repent or be cleansed from sin, but he did it to identify with sinful humanity. And that's one of the reasons why Jesus' baptism was different than anybody else's. Do you remember what happened at Jesus' baptism? When Jesus was baptized, the heavens were open, the Holy Spirit descended upon him as if it were a dove, and a voice spoke from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I need to prepare you for this. I don't think that's going to happen tonight. Because Jesus was the unique Son of God, and it was as if God wanted to cry out from heaven saying, his baptism isn't like anybody else's. Matter of fact, not only was Jesus baptized, but we also see from the scriptures that Jesus and his disciples baptized many people. John chapter 3, verse 23 says, "After these things, Jesus and his disciples came to the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized." It was not only John the Baptist doing the work of baptism during the days of Jesus' ministry. Jesus himself baptized people and his disciples. Look at John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples." In other words, Jesus delegated the work of baptism to his disciples. So John the Baptist baptized. Jesus was baptized. Jesus and his disciples did the work of baptism, and so did the disciples in the early church. They baptized people. One example of this is found in Acts chapter 2, where we read, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" When people wanted to repent and get right with God in the early church, the apostles said, "Get baptized." Matter of fact, Jesus commanded his servants to baptize others. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, look at Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age.'" Did you see what Jesus said there? He told those who are going to go out and represent him in the world that when you go out into the world, you're not only to preach the gospel and make disciples, but you are to baptize people as well. Matter of fact, you could say that Jesus stressed the importance of baptism when he said in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Now, I want you to notice, we see here a subtle way that Jesus said that baptism was not absolutely essential for salvation. Because he did not say that if you are not baptized, you will not be saved. He just assumed that believers would, in fact, be baptized. Matter of fact, you can also say that the disciples themselves stressed the importance of baptism. Acts chapter 10, verse 48 says, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord." Friends, do you see that in Acts chapter 10? He commanded them. It wasn't just a suggestion. "Hey man, if you want to get baptized sometime, well, why don't you do it when you feel like getting around to it?" No, it was commanded. Get baptized. So in the New Testament, we find this pattern again and again, baptism being displayed and lifted up in something that obedient followers of Jesus Christ simply do. Now, in the New Testament, water baptism is connected also to the idea of baptism into Christ. I want you to remember that phrase, baptism into Christ. Now, friends, there's a sense, and you get the sense exactly, I think, that when we bring people forward here a little bit later this evening and put them inside these great big tubs, which I must say literally are feeding troughs or watering troughs for horses, but they suit our purposes just fine here tonight. But by the way, a horse has never touched these feeding troughs. They've been adequately cleaned and sterilized. We take great care with these things. But I want you to understand this. These people are going to be baptized into water. Isn't that what everybody understands? Water is going to cover them over. They will be immersed in water. That's plain. Everybody gets that. But what I want you to understand is that the Bible connects the idea of being baptized into water with the idea of being baptized into Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means to be covered over with Jesus, to be immersed in him. Notice these two verses. First, from Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Paul speaks of those who were baptized into Christ Jesus. Now look at another passage here from Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. Paul wrote, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. For as many as you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You see, here, using the picture of baptism, Paul illustrates what it means to have faith in Jesus Christ. He doesn't say here that we were baptized into water, even though that's true as well for the obedient believer. He says that they were baptized into Christ. Just as in water baptism, a person is immersed into water, so God wants us to be immersed, so to speak. It's using a figure of speech, of course. Wants us to be immersed into Jesus. By our faith in Jesus Christ, we are immersed in him, covered over in him. And friends, I just want you to think about this for a moment. There are many people who consider themselves to be followers of Jesus Christ who are content to just dip a toe into Jesus, so to speak. They don't want to be covered over by him. There are many people who consider themselves followers of Jesus Christ who are perfectly content to be sprinkled with a little bit of Jesus. That's not the terminology that Jesus and Paul used. Paul used the terminology being baptized into Christ. You know, when you baptize a person into water and put them under, there's a sense in which you can't see them anymore. All you see is the water on top of them. They are buried in the water. There's a sense in when a person is truly and completely baptized into Christ Jesus that you see Jesus more than you see them. Now, it should be stressed that this is the baptism that truly saves us. Friends, the baptism of water is not what truly saves a person. It's being baptized into Christ. If a person is not truly baptized into Christ, they could dunk themselves in the water or have a pastor dunk themselves into water 1,000 times and it wouldn't make a difference. No, my friends, if a person has been baptized into Christ, then they should follow through and do what Jesus said to do, to receive baptism as a demonstration of their commitment to Jesus. Now, when we believe on Jesus, we are spiritually baptized, that is, immersed into Christ. We're identified with his death and resurrection and his life. Connected to this, Jesus wants us to be physically baptized as well. Now, I want you to notice this. We have this drama. Baptism is a very physical thing that we do, is it not? The people who are baptized here this evening are going to be really wet. They're going to need a towel. It's not a feeling that's going to come upon them, although we trust a feeling will come upon them, but they're going to actually get wet. Here's the point I'm making. That is a material thing that is going to happen to them. But we know that when a person passes from darkness into light, that is a spiritual thing. And what God gives us because of his goodness in Jesus Christ, he gives us a material way to experience what happened in us spiritually. In other words, we physically act out the spiritual truth that our sins were washed away. That's why it says in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It's not the actual water that does it, but being baptized into Christ washes away our sins. And the water is the physical illustration of that. We physically act out the spiritual truth that we died with Jesus, we're raised with him, we live by him, and we are identified with Jesus Christ. Just as it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Did you see that? Baptism illustrates our death with Jesus and our resurrection. For a moment, and you need to trust me, we keep it just a moment, that person is buried under the water. There's a few special cases that we leave under the water just for a few moments more, just to make sure that it takes hold. But the idea is that they are buried with Jesus and then they rise up again. Matter of fact, that's not the only aspect of it. We openly identify with Jesus and his people. We make a public proclamation of our trust to everybody present, even to angelic beings, both faithful and fallen, that may be present. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit." This speaks of baptism as being a proclamation of our participation in the family of God. Did you know that in many cultures, if somebody claims to be a believer, nobody cares very much. But when you're baptized, then they know you're a Christian. Matter of fact, in some cultures, someone who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ or read the Bible or believe in him, they'll face no persecution. But as soon as they are baptized, then the whole community knows now they're serious. Now they really mean it. They made a public proclamation of it. Now, many people have questions about baptism, and let me just deal with some of those questions. Some people ask the question, do I have to be baptized? Is it necessary for salvation? Well, let me give you an answer to that. Your salvation does not depend upon baptism. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says this, "It is not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." Is it possible for a person to put their trust in Jesus, to never be baptized, and to still go to heaven? Yes, it is possible. But let me tell you what's not possible. It's not possible for someone who calls themselves a follower of Jesus Christ to be an obedient Christian without following Jesus. In other words, if you say, "Whoo, I can make it to heaven without being baptized, and who cares about getting baptized?" My friend, don't you care about obeying your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Jesus and the apostles emphasize the importance of baptism. Most convincingly, every time in the book of Acts, when there is a conversion, there is a baptism. Isn't that amazing? Every time in the book of Acts. Now let me deal with the second question people have. Secondly, people want to know, do I have to have a certain level of spiritual maturity before I can be baptized? I meet many people who are like this. They say, "Well, do you believe in Jesus?" "Yes, I believe in Jesus." "I mean, have you really given your life to him?" "Yes, I have." "Well, then let's get baptized." "No, I feel like I should wait." This is a very common feeling, and maybe some of you feel this very way. Now, many of the converts in the book of Acts were baptized immediately. There may be wisdom to see if someone's faith is genuine, but it doesn't need to be a test of spiritual maturity. If you really trust in Jesus Christ to be your salvation, if you've repented of your sins, if you put your trust in Jesus, then you are qualified for baptism. Now, if you're not sure, if you haven't really done it, well, then let's wait until we know that you're sure. But yet, you don't have to achieve some level of spiritual maturity before you are qualified for baptism. Some people want to know, who can baptize others? Do you have to get like a special baptizer membership card to baptize other people? Well, friends, let's just be honest about this. The Bible gives no special title or qualification for those who do the work of baptizing others. It can be pretty much be done by anybody. And so sometimes people want to have a trusted friend, someone who is a spiritual father or mother, just someone who's important in their life, come and help them in the work of baptism. Well, that can be a wonderful and a glorious thing. Now, a big question that people have is, can children be baptized? Well, let me answer the question this way. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it gives the principle, repent and be baptized. That's what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. If a child is old enough to know what sin is, what repentance is, and to have a trust in Jesus, then they are old enough to be baptized. And usually here at Calvary Chapel, we rely greatly on the parents' understanding of the child in regard to those things. Usually, I mean almost always, it's the parent who knows the child better than anybody. And so if a child wants to be baptized, we're interested in speaking to the parents. Does your child really have a sense of the significance of this? They don't have to have a sophisticated theological understanding, but they have to have an understanding of repentance and faith unto Jesus Christ. Now, I have to say, and if you only knew how much I'm restraining myself at this very moment, because I've kind of had an interest in this rising over the past several years, the whole practice of infant baptism or baby baptism. I have to let you know that even though there's disagreement about it in the Christian community, and I understand that, and there are many Christian traditions with wonderful believers who believe in baptizing babies, I do not regard that to be a scriptural practice. I believe that baptism is reserved for believers, those who can believe and repent. And I think it's an important principle for us to stick to. Therefore, a next question that people have is, I was baptized as a baby. Should I now be baptized as a believer? Ladies and gentlemen, if you ask me, I say yes. You should be baptized as a believer. Infants have not yet repented or put their trust in Jesus Christ. Some people want to know, is it okay to be sprinkled for baptism? Well, let me ask you this. No, not really. Oh, now look, I suppose in a case of emergency where there isn't enough water to be baptized by immersion, I mean, you can concoct these scenarios. There we were out in the middle of the Mojave Desert, and there was no water, but somebody got saved on their deathbed, and they wanted to be baptized. Okay, look, we get the extreme circumstances and all that. Apart from that, let me just put it to you this way, folks. The word baptism in the ancient language means to immerse, to cover, or to dip. It does not mean to sprinkle. It just doesn't. I'm just being straight with you here. Baptism is to immerse yourself. And if you're being baptized into water, it's to cover yourself up with water. Many years ago, I was baptizing an elderly man who received Christ in a rest home. And some friends of mine had led him to the Lord, and the man was excited about being baptized, and his family was thrilled. The family had been praying for this guy for 30, 40 years that he would put his faith in Jesus. And finally, he did. So we went over to a man's house to baptize him in the jacuzzi, I think it was. It was a pretty good one, so we could do the work in there. And there I am, ready to baptize this frail old man. I felt nervous just holding on to him. I felt like he might break when I bent him back. And because I didn't want him to be in any kind of agony or anything, I just told myself, I'm not going to put him all the way under. So I leaned him back and I left just the circle of his face out of the water. You know, so his mouth and his nose and his eyes were up. I put him under just like that. I brought him back up. The family's crying. They're clapping. They're cheering. The guy was not happy. He looked at me and he said, you didn't put me under. I smiled and said, well, let's do it again. And we did. And I gave him a proper baptism. Friends, there may be some extenuating circumstances where a person, you know, just can't be immersed for some reason. Okay, we get that. But by and large, baptism is immersion. Some people ask the question, I was baptized as a believer, but in another church. Should I be baptized again? Listen, friends, if the church you were baptized in was a Christian church, and you were baptized as a believer, as someone who repented and believed, there's no need to be baptized again. But let me answer another question that goes alongside with this. Some people ask this question, if I have come back to the Lord, should I be baptized again? Or they ask this, is there sin or harm in being baptized again as a believer? I'll give you my opinion. I want you to know that not every person in God's family agrees on the answer to this question, but I'll give you my answer. I would say, no, there's no harm in it. Some people say that if you're baptized a second time as a believer, they regard it essentially as a denial of your first baptism. If you said, well, the first one didn't work, so I'm going to do it again. Friends, I just want you to know, I don't think it needs to be regarded that way at all. Maybe some of you have done this. Certainly you know about the practice where people renew their wedding vows on their 25th or 40th or 50th anniversary. When somebody renews their wedding vow, are they denying their first ones? No, they're confirming them. And so really, I think it can be a beautiful and appropriate thing. Listen, I'll tell you when a lot of times people want to get baptized a second time, when we take a trip to Israel together. Oh, baby, they want to get baptized in the Jordan. Well, I understand that perfectly, and I think it's a fine thing. Now, look, let's face it. Just like it would be really weird if a couple renewed their wedding vows twice every week, it would be weird if somebody wanted to be baptized all the time. And you go, okay, well, let's talk about this. You may not understand this. But to be occasionally to renew your vows, so to speak, unto Jesus, I don't think it denies what you've done before. It's a beautiful affirmation of it. Well, friends, again, we can talk about baptism a lot tonight. I say, let's do some baptism. Well, let me put it this way. If I could leave you with one last verse, let's take a look at the verse from Acts chapter 22, verse 16. I love it. Here we go. Here's your verse for tonight. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So we're not going to wait any longer. Now, there are many people who have signed up and been spoken to about baptism here this evening. And they are, so to speak, ready. We prepare them. We've spoken because we don't want to do it just in a you know, willy-nilly kind of way. We want people to be spoken to. Have you really trusted in Christ? Do you understand what's going on? And so we have people who are all ready to go for that. But let me just say, if you came here tonight with no intention at all of being baptized, but you say, I do trust in Jesus, and I've never taken this important step, maybe I should get baptized tonight, we have made provision for you as well. We've got shorts and t-shirts and extra towels. You can do it tonight, even if you had no preparation to do it. Now, one of our pastors needs to talk to you, right? One of our pastors needs to talk to you and just see where you're at, make sure you understand, and make sure where you're at. But we've made provision for that as well, so let's do it. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Those people who are already, you have planned to get baptized tonight, I want you to stand up now and come forward right over there. Lars. Lars is going to take you over there and get you prepped and ready to come out. And if you feel tonight's your night, you want to do it in a more spontaneous way, well, then you just go ahead and get up and you go with the same group. And the worship team is going to come on up. We're going to prepare our hearts for worship. And as we worship the Lord together, they're going to come out and we're going to baptize them. And you'll be able to see it up on the screens as each person is baptized. And it's going to be a beautiful, precious time here together this evening. So let me pray and thank the Lord for our time in the Word and prepare ourselves for something wonderful. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you that you love us so much that you wanted to communicate spiritual things to us in a material way. And so, Lord, we pray for every person who's being baptized tonight. We pray for them, Lord, thanking you for the work that you've done in their life. We're thankful, Lord, that they have support of family and friends around them. That not only with this church family, but with other people around them, they do not make this step alone. But they do it, Lord, with others supportive and around them. Lord, we pray for your blessing. We pray for a unique move of your grace upon each one. And we're so thankful together, God, that we can receive this beautiful gift from you this evening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a message by Pastor David Guzik for Enduring Word. For more information about our ministry and how to grow in your relationship with Jesus, please visit enduringword.com.